Father, thank you that you speak to us through your word. Speak to us now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please do grab a seat. So, as we mentioned at the beginning, this is the celebration this weekend for St. Andrew's of 800 years of continual ministry. They've got a rector's board inside the church and it has a list of all the names. Much to my embarrassment, my name's gone up already. I think they should have done that once they got rid of me, but apparently they put it up. It's kind of like a sort of, and this is who we have at the moment. But it's also Father's Day, so happy birthday or whatever we're celebrating. I don't know, for fathers. What do you say? Happy Father's Day, I suppose? Happy Father's Day to those who are fathers. Happy Father's Day comes with a mixture, though, doesn't it? For some of us who have lost our dads, there's elements of sadness. Our dad is gone. For many of us, our dads were good dads. They did their best. But others of us, our experience of fatherhood is somewhat different and might be somewhat different even now for those of us whose dads are still with us. And however good our dads are, of course, they're not perfect. I mean, I could give you a long list of things that were wrong about my dad. A main reason I can give you a long list about the things that were wrong with my dad is that I discovered they are wrong with me too now in my own parenting. And of course, most tragically of all things is that I notice in my own kids some of that parenting falling out into them, of course. But the interesting thing is you also notice, I hope those of you who've got kids or possibly even grandkids, that what you notice is that some of the good stuff falls out too. Have some of you noticed this? So we went to Isabel, our youngest, on Friday. Some of you will remember her from her time here. And I arrived. I'd actually, being naive and daft, I'd actually gone, you know, I thought, well, you know, I dress smart. You know, you've got to impress your daughter, but all the more impress your son-in-law. So, you know, so I put a nice clean white shirt on and put on my best white trainers and a nice pair of shorts, you know, because it was a hot day, and arrived and given her a little hug. And she said, I'm so glad you're here, she said, because I've got so much stuff we're going to do in the garden. And we had a great time planting things in her garden. My white shirt went straight in the wash when I got home, and the trainers were now need probably to be washed as well. And I have learnt my lesson, I hope. Next time, I will go with a change of clothes. Now, the interesting thing about Izzy's love for nature is that both Helen and I love being outdoors. We love nature, we love gardens and stuff, and some of that has passed on to her. And you know, she's a very hard-working young woman and sort of throws herself into these projects and things. And so she, as soon as she pretty much arrived in the house they live in now in Guildford, they dug up the sort of front lawn. It's not huge, but just they dug up the front lawn, or rather Isabel dug up the front lawn. Sam, her husband's less keen on such things. He's really into technical stuff. But she dug up the front lawn, so she's planted vegetables in her kind of front lawn, and there are canes there for the runner beans to grow up. I'm going, when I grew vegetables, the kids used to help me do this kind of stuff. In fact, one of the main reasons we grew vegetables was not because we wanted vegetables for ourselves, or that was part of it, but actually because it was just a learning experience for the kids, and Izzy has really caught that bug. She loves keeping things alive, and it's such a dream, isn't it? When you have those moments, for those of us who have that kind of experience, where we've been able to influence someone, whether we've been a neighbor or a teacher or whether we've been a parent, when we see that kind of grow fruit in another person, isn't that just a beautiful thing? Now, today is Trinity Sunday. I'm just so excited about the Trinity. I think it is just one of the things that I find so beautiful about God is the Trinity. Now, some of you are going, weirdo, because you're thinking, well, it's something I just don't understand. You know, we've got different ways of attempting to understand it. You know, we kind of go, well, there's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and yet they're one. So we'll do a St. Patrick thing. We'll grab a three-leaf clover, which supposedly he did, And he then said, well, this is one, you know, it's one plant, it's one leaf, it's the, you know, God has one stalk, so it's clearly one thing, but there are three individual sort of leaves within the one leaf, within the one plant, and that's like the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And apparently, ta-da, we've sussed the Trinity. Okay, and then the other way of doing it is people talk about, well, there's water, isn't it? You've got water, which is liquid. We all know water is a liquid, but actually you can have water, and pretty much every other material, of course, as a solid. We call that ice, of course. And you can have water not only as ice and a solid and a liquid, you can also have it as a gas, and of course we call that steam. So we kind of have these three ways. So that's like Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, isn't it? Well, sort of, you know, and then you can be a person in your own right. So I'm Howard, the person in my own right, but I am also Howard, a son of my father. And I'm also Howard, a father as well. But then it gets really confusing because you go, well, I'm both a vicar and a kind of human being, and apparently, and I'm also a husband, and I'm also a grandfather, and I'm also a friend to some people, and you go, oh, it's just too complicated, isn't it? Sometimes people actually get very, very confused about the Trinity. One of the things for Muslims, if you've ever had conversations with them, is quite a lot of Muslims are under the understanding that as Christians we believe in three gods. In fact, they really can't get their head around the idea that we only believe in one God, because we talk about Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and they go, well, you believe in three gods, that's just weird. You know, you're polytheistic as a religion. You claim you're monotheistic, but really you are polytheistic. You worship the three gods. And I think it's quite important for us to try and hold that tension together. And this is one of the things I love about God and the Trinity, is that actually, if I could understand it, God wouldn't be that mysterious. He would just be in a box, wouldn't he? There are some things I can understand, and they're just in a box, aren't they? We just know that's where they are. But there's something very mysterious about God, something otherworldly than God, something that my finite mind cannot comprehend. Now, if I could comprehend God completely with my finite mind, God would then be surely finite. And as small as me, I can somehow bring him to my size. Cosmologists, I've heard, who's the guy who's often on the TV, Manchester, for a guy from Manchester does that? Brian Cox, I've heard him even talk about, you know, we cannot comprehend the universe. He says, don't be worried about that, because it's incomprehensible. You know, the space, the distances, the size of the universe is completely incomprehensible to us, because we cannot grasp it. And from that point of view, you're going, you know, you've nailed it, really, because the universe, if God has made it, is going to be, as I mean, he says it's possible that the universe is infinite. We don't know. We don't know whether it's got an edge to it or not, because we've not gone that far, and we probably never ever will. So, but to some extent, God is the same. If God has created something infinite, then God himself must be himself infinite. So I find it wonderful that there's something mysterious about God, that I cannot quite grasp it. But the other thing I really adore and love about the Trinity is that God has within him love and community. God has community within him. He is not lonely, he is not alone, but he is also one. Now this is, again, this is the difficulty, isn't it? We're going, well, God is absolutely one. Are you just saying that God is kind of schizophrenic and hears voices and talks to himself? You're going, no, it's not like that. God somehow is found with as three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in this beautiful, loving relationship, in this community that functions and flows so beautifully together. And that is such a beautiful thing. And it's such an important thing for us too, because it means that God is not black and white. Now, the risk for someone who is very clearly just monotheistic, one God, indivisible, just one God, that's it, get over yourself, it's one God. The risk for that is that you kind of go, well, where is the discussion going to go on? Where is the negotiation? Where's the conversation going to happen with a God who is so solid and secure in that sense? And there's something about our God, the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, where that community and love is already expressed within the Godhead, that allows that softer side, if you like, a God who is clear because he is one, but is also a God with whom we can have a relationship. Now, if for instance, you met with two close friends, let's say you and two close friends have agreed that you're going to meet up, and what you do is you make a mistake and decide that you're going to meet. You know, you've been longing to get together. It's been difficult to find a time when the three of you can meet. You finally managed via WhatsApp, text, and other spurious means, smoke signals, semaphore, however it is to finally get a... Do some of you find this in some of your relationships? You finally get a date, don't you? And the three of you decide, bad decision, to go to Garth Owen. Okay, now it's not a bad decision to go to Garth Owen. It's a lovely cafe. I highly recommend it. There are other cafes available, but I do recommend it. But the reason it was a bad idea was because you go there and you're sat there and you're having the loveliest of conversations. It's been so long since you've had the chance to catch up, and you're really enjoying together being together as three friends. And possibly there's a bit of laughter and a bit of giggling and also a bit of kind of sadness as you hear each other's stories. And you're right in the middle of meeting together and I turn up. Now, being me, of course, I go, I know those people. Oh, hi, how are you doing? Now, I'm choosing myself, okay, because there are other people available, okay? You can picture the type of person who comes over and you go, or the three of you might go, oh, we know them, that's really nice that they've come over and said hello. And then they continue to talk. And then they continue to talk a little bit longer. Now, what goes on in our heads? Now, this would never be any of you, of course, but in your head you're going, well, I liked that person. But right now they're being quite irritating because we were having a lovely time here on our own, actually, thank you very much. And if you could just shove off, we can carry on having a lovely time on our own because I haven't seen these people for ages and you're now monopolizing the situation. That would never happen to any of you, would it? Some of you are going, yeah, it happened last week, actually. We were somewhere and somebody came over and started having a conversation with us. And you're going, well, hold on a minute. We're here. This is a prearranged thing. And, you know, we love you to death. But could we book you in for next Tuesday? Because right now, this is our time. This is our moment. That's what we're like, isn't it, as human beings? What is God like? God has this perfect relationship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, together, the three of them. And God says, come and join us. Come and join us. It's like the three friends sat there and going, I'll shove over, and why don't you come and sit here? There's a spare chair here. Tables always have four chairs around them, really, don't they? So there's a fourth chair here. Why don't you come and join us? You know, we've arranged this years ago. We've been together, and we're really happy here. But our love for each other is so secure, and our love for each other overflows to other people too, and you are welcome to come and join us. What can we get you? That's the kind of love, the welcome that God shows to us. It's an extraordinary thing, isn't it? Now, here's the thing about going back to Father's Day and us learning from our parents and our children, those of us who are blessed to have them, learning from us, is that actually we're invited into a relationship with God in which we can take on that family likeness, in which we can be like God is. We can overflow with that love in relationship with God as we join that community with God, which is the community he invites us into as children, as friends. That's how he invites us in. We barely deserve, well, we don't even deserve to be his servants, his slaves, but he invites us in as friends and as children. And we have that opportunity to join in that community of love, which overflows to us and which can overflow from us in fruitfulness in our lives. That's what God has invited us into. And this is spoken about in this passage here. Children want to learn from their parents, don't they? I mentioned about Isabel learning about gardening. You know, some of us have had that experience where we've been trying to do something at home and a child has come along and said, can I help? And immediately you just go, ugh. You know, you're halfway through making a cake, for instance, and the child says, can they help? And you go, this is going to be carnage. There's going to be mess everywhere. It's going to be the most awful experience of my life. I'm quite fastidious about mess. I'm not someone who really gets on well with mess, okay? I have to take a deep breath to allow it to kind of somehow, you know, sometimes literally wash over me. And I have to kind of just not snap at it, which is my instant response. It's quite interesting watching our kids with their own kids. One of our kids is a bit like me and is kind of like, right, you've done that, now we need to wash our hands. Right, now we come back and we do, right, now we need to wash our hands again. And I'm just gonna wipe the side, hold on, before you get back up again. And that's exactly how I would have cooked with that particular child of ours. Because I'd have gone, the other ones, they're just going, oh, we'll tidy up at the end, it'll be fine. And you've got mess and stuff everywhere. And I walk in and I have to go, and Howard, today you are going to be gracious. And you have to, it's like an act of will, an absolute decision that I'm not going to just go, out with this mess in front of us. Children learn from us, don't they? And we want to learn. We want to join in with what other people are doing. Those of us who might be quite handy with tools will know, you know, you go into the garage and two children follow you in. And you go, ugh. You know, and you're going, I just need to saw this. Can we help Dad? No, it's a saw. Of course you can't help. Yes, come here. Let's hold it together. Here we go. And of course, what was going to take, you know, 3 minutes suddenly takes 3 flipping hours. You know, who's got that sort of time? God has, hasn't he? God has that time to be so patient with us. And he loves it when we join in. He loves it when we join in. And he loves us learning from him as we spend time with him. And we have a choice. We have a choice about whether we engage with this relationship that God offers us within the Trinity and whether we learn from him as we learn from our own parents and as our children learn from us. We have a choice about whether we do that or whether we choose to go, do you know what? Thanks, but no thanks. You know, it's very kind of you to invite me to sit at the table and to join your conversation. It's very kind of you to offer me a coffee. But actually, no, I'm just going to go and sit on my own, thanks. I'm going to do my own thing. Paul, in this passage in Galatians, is saying you've got two choices. You can choose to go in a direction away from God. And if you choose that direction, then the fruit of your life will inevitably... Okay, and this is in general terms, in terms of you can see this generally across the whole population, but to some extent it will reflect your life, you know, if you like, eventually, you know, if you live to be, whatever age, however good you start out as, you will never be good enough. It will always unravel and you will be destroyed. That's what Paul is saying, and he gives this long list of things. Now, when we read this list, you know, where it says the acts of flesh are obvious, sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and alike. Some of those things we kind of go, oh, I don't want any of that, that's horrible. And some of it we go, oh, that sounds a bit interesting, I've never tried that. Isn't it funny how it works in that sort of list? And we suddenly find ourselves going, well, I'm not sure, you know, do I want to go this way or do I want to go this way? Now, our goodness, our morality will not get us into heaven. However good you are, that does not get you to heaven. What gets you to heaven is your connection to God, the Trinity. It's a connection to the Father through Jesus by the Holy Spirit. It's that connection. It's that recognizing that actually it's not about you. It's not about me. It's actually about us giving up that rootedness in self and allowing ourselves to be rooted in Jesus through to the Father, through Jesus, by the Holy Spirit. Because ultimately the fruit of not being of pursuing Jesus is that we promote ourselves as Savior and Lord. We choose our own path to happiness. We invest in things which ultimately will unravel and destroy us. Now, many of those things will be good things. We can be a good person for much of our lives, and we can invest in good things. It's a good thing to invest in your health and well-being. It's a good thing to look after and care for and have possessions to be able to enjoy those things. It's a good thing to invest in relationships and to invest in pleasure and experiences and so on. That none of those things are particularly bad of their own. The challenge is when actually those are the priority of our lives, when those are the things that we go, this is the thing that will give me satisfaction. This is the thing that provides me with happiness. This is the thing that will fulfill the deepest longings of my heart. Because actually those things will never, ever fulfill the deepest longings of our heart. Heaven is not obtained by moral living. We know that because Jesus said, to the morally religious people, he said this. To the very good people, this is what he said. Truly I tell you, tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom ahead of you. To the church folk, he said that. You know, you've missed the point. You think you're being good and just being a good person, but actually it's about the direction in which you are walking. Am I going to walk in God's way? Am I going to follow Jesus? And seek to discover who he is, to learn, to receive of his love, that overflowing of his love, so that overflows from my life too? Or am I going to go, no, I can just be good on my own, thank you very much. And yes, I'm very happy to know that you're there, but I'm really just going to keep you at arm's length. I'm never going to allow your love to really touch my life and change me and transform me. Jesus said, it's by our fruits we will be recognized. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree will bear good fruit, but a bad tree will bear ultimately bad fruit. In that reading from the gospel that Caroline read to us, it talks about that tree. I wonder what kind of person you want to be. Timothy mentioned this in terms of, I think it was Timothy mentioned about the chaff. That blows away, that is just sort of, kind of weightless and nothing? Or do we want to be like a tree that's rooted in God and his extraordinary love for us? I want to encourage us this week to be thinking about the Trinitarian love of God, the love that God has within himself and how that he lavishes that love upon you, upon me. He loves us. To really grasp that love and to invite him in and to allow him to welcome you in even deeper and even more than you understand it at the moment. Because it's out of that rootedness in Jesus that the fruit of the Spirit can flow through us. God, by his grace, can produce in us love, joy, peace, patience. The word patience, forbearance is a lovely word, isn't it? We never use that word. I've always tended just to read patience instead of forbearance, but forbearance has quite a deep meaning to it. That sense of being willing to be, that gentleness, that patience in affliction that we face. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are challenging words, aren't they? But as I read this list, I kind of think to myself, I would rather have neighbours and family and friends who exhibit this kind of fruit than the first list that we read. These are the people I want to hang around with. These are the people I want to be alongside. And this is the kind of person I want to overflow as into the world. And God invites us into that Trinitarian relationship, into that love and community, so that his love pours out on us and we can pour that same love out in the world. Take time this week to talk to God. Take time to read his word and be nourished by it. Take time to ask the Holy Spirit to come and to nourish your heart and appropriate to you, to give to you an understanding of his extraordinary love for you. Maybe take time just to sit with a cross, look at an image of a cross, or just hold a cross if you have a small enough one to place in your hand, and just ask yourself, Lord, do I really grasp your love for me? Help me to understand, to receive it, and to grow with the fruit of that understanding. Let's pray now. Father, thank you that you come to us in such extraordinary grace and love. Thank you for the way in which, as we often say, that you welcome us in. It's a remarkable and beautiful thing. And we pray that, Lord, we might be fruitful people in our lives, that we might rest in you, abide in you, and that we might be fed and nourished by your love, and therefore be people of your fruit, your spiritual fruit that you want to produce in our lives. Lord, help us to find that satisfaction and the longing of our hearts. Help us to immerse ourselves in you and your love and grace, that we as your children might be like our Heavenly Father. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.